You know that a week ago yesterday, I celebrate my birthday, and so we had a wonderful service last week. Thank God for all of the birthday wishes and the kindness of the church, and many folks had dropped something by. But I am older, and I almost didn't make it today, as in my elderly years, I was just trying to decide whether I could make it to church or not, but I powered through. I got here. But so I'm 52 and 1 week and one day. So I'm older than you've ever seen me before. And age is catching up with me because I had to go to the dentist this week, and I had my first cavity, and so I had it filled, and so this is no fun. I tell you, this getting old is not for sissies. I that's the first I've ever had a cavity. And so I was down here at the dentist, and it's amazing how kind they are to you when you come in the door, only to know those torture chambers they have in the back rooms. And so they cleaned my teeth, they did all that, and then they got in there. Then the dentist had this big needle. It was about this long. I know that because he started off in the other corner of the room coming at me, and this kind lady was pulling my jaw open this way and said, "This won't hurt a bit." I said, I couldn't say anything because I'm over like this. I said, "Yeah, it won't hurt you, but you're not the one that's going to get punctured here." So he did that and then said, "Oh, that'll just take a little while." And then, you know, it's bad enough if they put that in you and then they just squirt it and gone. Said, "Now this will take a while." So he must have just seemed like it took about a half hour to push all that medication in my mouth. And so then they got these tools from Home Depot and they started drilling and grinding and sucking and irrigating and then sucking some more out. Then it went back to a larger horsepower drill bit, I think, and then got in there. At least that's the way it felt anyways. I know I'm traumatized. I didn't sleep for 3 days. So but I made it through, and so I'm here, and here to live to tell about it. And then they said, "Well, if it doesn't work right, then come back." I said, "I ain't coming back. I am not coming back. It'll have to be so bad my whole jaw is going to fall off before I come back." But it's set just fine. Everything's good, and I've been eating on it, so I'm good to go. I'm just older, and now with one filling in my mouth. So here I am. But we're thankful to the Lord that he has let us live through. And as I mentioned in the beginning, I do thank God for this gathering, because whether you know it or not, the Lord is doing things in your heart and in my heart as we just get to come together. Because the Bible talks about fellowshipping one with another, breaking of bread. Of course, they ate, but then they had doctrine and they taught the Word of God. And so the essence of the church, it's changed a lot. Many times it would have started off meeting in homes and then meeting different places, and now most churches probably have a gathering spot that they come to, but the need is still the same. Get the Word of God together, then fellowship with one with another, encourage one another. And so I'm so grateful that God has given us this place to just come together in. And I know that sounds like a repeat that I just said a little bit ago, but it's just the Lord is impressing my heart to dwell on that for a bit. It's just exciting to see what the Lord has given us. And again, I say that if you don't know somebody, then I challenge you to put the weight on your back and say, "You know, I need to meet somebody after church today. I need to just introduce myself to them and find out something about them, how you can pray for them this week and how they can pray for you." And it's just a beautiful thing the Lord has given us in the church. Well, I want to preach for a little while as well, and I'm going to go off script just a little bit. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 39, and I want to preach about a subject you can't get there from here, and I'll explain it just a little bit. But Genesis chapter 39, as you turn your place there, Genesis 39, first book of the Bible. I did hear this story about this preacher who wanted a pet really bad, but his apartment complex wouldn't let him have one, wouldn't let him have a dog, even if his house broke, wouldn't let him have a dog, wouldn't let him have a cat. But he did check in. There was a little bit of a leeway. There wasn't anything about a bird or something's in a cage. And so he's talking to the pet store owner. He said, "Well, why don't you get a parrot? It keeps you company, talks to you. It'd be a good thing." So he looked back at his lease and said, sure enough, it didn't say anything about a caged animal like that. So he got a bird and got it home. He was so excited. He thought, "Well, man, I'll be able to just have something else around here." He lived by himself anyway, so I'll just be able to have a parrot to talk. And so he had the parrot, and all it would say is, "Let's pray." Which is not bad. I mean, if you're a pastor, that's a good thing to say. But "let's pray." It was good, but it got old. "Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray." It's the only thing he ever said. It's happened for some time, several weeks. All the time he had it, that's all I did. So he got used to it and kind of disappointed, but let it go. And then he was over, there was a couple that had visited the church, so he went over and made a home visit and wanted to meet them and greet them, see if they had any questions about the church. So he sat down there on the couch, and behind him, he heard a voice that said, "Let's kiss." And it sounded a lot like his bird, but he turned around, it was a bird, but it wasn't his bird. It's like, oh. And then the people were so embarrassed, said, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe that bird did that." And then they told the story. They'd had this bird for quite a little while, and they thought the same thing he did. It'd keep company, he'd say things around there, you'd break up the silence, but all they ever say is, "Let's kiss." And he said, "Well, it's strange you should say that, because I got a bird and told them the whole story. Couldn't have one of my lease, couldn't have any kind of regular pet, so a bird's in a cage, they let me do that. The pet store said this would be a good thing to have to get this bird, but all it says is, let's pray." And so somebody came up with the idea, well, maybe we just let them have a time together. We could bring the birds together. Maybe they'll learn something, and maybe they could talk more or something. And so he said, well, sounds like a good idea. So the pastor brought his bird over in his cage and took it to this new church member's house, and they brought it in there. So they put him in there, he and her, the birds in each cage, and then the bird that was the couple said, "Let's kiss." All it ever said, that's all what it said that time too. And so the pastor was embarrassed, said, "Well, yeah, I know what the bird's going to say." And so the bird of there said, "Let's kiss." And then the pastor's bird didn't say what he thought. He said, "Praise the Lord, my prayers have been answered." So maybe the bird had a little bit more spiritual life than you thought. So I don't know what you do with that in life, but there you have it anyway. So, well, we're looking at Genesis chapter 39. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." Look down at verse number 11, same chapter. "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do the business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she," that's Potiphar's wife, his boss's wife, "caught him by the garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Good for him. "And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, 'He hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto to me to lie with me.' And I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he had heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home." Joseph, that beloved character of the Old Testament, was the one that you remember in chapter 37, verse 9. He says, "I've dreamed a dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." He was talking to his brothers and his mom and dad, and said, "I had this vision, a dream that God gave me, and the sun, moon, and the stars, they bowed down to me." We know the story here. He's that dreamer that God had put something in his heart. It's not that the dream wasn't God-given, but the brothers certainly didn't like to hear it when they did hear it. And so it's almost as if Joseph saw where God wanted him to be, but as if he, like when I got directions from somebody one time, and you ever got those directions when they say, well, nowadays you just say, well, it's 172 Victory Court or something. They'll just give you so you can just GPS it. But you've talked to somebody who doesn't like to give directions that way. They say, well, you just go down here and you get to that stop sign and you turn right at that. And then when you get to a Y in a row, there's an old barn that's there. It used to be there. It fell down here a few years ago, but you can still see the hump in the ground. They start giving directions like this. Then you hang a left over there. And then you go down, I don't know, probably a little ways. And then when you get down just a little ways, there were some washing out that came from one flood we had some time ago, and the road gets narrow there. And they give you all these instructions, and you're not any closer to finding that place than you were. I actually had somebody tell me one time, I was asking somewhere, and they started giving directions about like I described, and then they finally said, "You can't get there from here." And what they meant was, you can't get there from here. I think they meant, I could get there from here because I've lived here all my life, but you can't get there from here. And sometimes you do think that it won't work, but obviously somebody can if you're doing about like going from here to Mountain City. It looks like it's close on the map, but it's not, is it, Peyton? No, so you got to go the long way around. You can't get there. And so sometimes when God put something in Joseph's heart, rather, and Joseph showed his brothers what he was going to do, and it could be said that, Joseph, you can't get there from here because nobody wants to see what you've got. After World War II, two brothers had a restaurant, and they got tired of doing things the same way. They had barbecue beef and ham and sandwiches and different things, like most little restaurants with car hops that would come up, and they said, we want to do something different. And as they did something different, they fired all of the car hops, and they took away the plates and got paper and wrapped their sandwiches and their French fries. And they had had a service that they wanted to get everybody in quick and out quick. And all of us have been to the fruit of their labors, the McDonald's, those brothers got bought by somebody else and different things, I think. But they had an idea that they wanted to do something different than it had been. But you'd think, well, everybody bought into that, but everybody did not buy into that. It took a long time for that new dream, that new vision, that new idea to catch on, and catch on, of course, it did. But those brothers had some things that was difficult for other people to see. And I'm thinking about this, that Joseph found himself detoured on the way to the dream that God had obviously placed in his heart. And I'm looking at people this morning that you've got something that you believe that God has given you. You've got something that you believe God wants to do in your life. But you find yourself like Joseph did. You find yourself in a spot where it doesn't look like it's a very quick trip from here to there. My in-laws, they usually charted their trips. My mother-in-law's in heaven now, but they usually charted their trips by how many Cracker Barrels you would pass before you got there. This was back before smartphones and things, and so they had a map of all the Cracker Barrels and what exit they were on. And so they would say, well, that's only three Cracker Barrels away. If we start off at breakfast, then we can get to lunch, and then by the third Cracker Barrel, we'll be there. And they got off the interstate one time and drove right down there to the base of the Cracker Barrel sign, but that's not where the Cracker Barrel was. But apparently other people had made that same mistake and gotten there because there was a sign that told you how you could get to the Cracker Barrel. This is the sign, but the Cracker Barrel, go back out on this street and then come back around. That was just there to tell everybody this is the exit, but that wasn't where it was. You had to get, that was that exit, but you had to get around there, and almost as if you said, you can't eat here. This Cracker Barrel is not here. Only the sign is here. But I wanted to bring this to you this morning to think about your life and my life, and I'd like to take it from the scripture here. Look back in verse number 14. I gave you this first thought. She called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. This is a detour that came into Joseph's life. Now, it's not the first one, but I'd like to give you this first thought. Detours do come into our lives. You remember that Joseph, the way that he even got here to Potiphar's house was his brothers had the great idea that they were going to kill him. And then they thought, well, let's not kill him. Let's instead sell him and get something out of him. And so the detour from him to where he's going to shine like God wants him to shine is very evident in his life. But first of all, we see that detours come. Back in Genesis 37, the Bible says this, and they, being his brothers, they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. This was Joseph's brothers when they were deciding whether to sell him or kill him. They thought, we might as well get a little bit of benefit out of him. And some of you this morning, you may feel like you're in that same spot in life, that you're in a pit that it wasn't of your own making. You didn't plan on this. This isn't what you wanted to do. This was somebody else's design, and this was somebody else's decision, as negative as it was. And you find yourself in that pit, maybe where there's no water, meaning there's no nourishment. I'm going to die down here, because that's exactly what Joseph would have done had they not got him back out. You may see that there's not only is there no water in there, there's no witnesses in there. There's nobody to go back and tell my dad. Joseph was his father's favorite son, but there was nobody to go back and tell him what state Joseph was in. And so much so did his brothers capitalize that they took that coat of many colors and they dipped it in some animal's blood and they brought it back and lied to their dad about it. But there was no witnesses, and then there was no way out. You may be feeling the same way. This is not what I had in mind. This is not where I planned on my life getting to. But detours come into our lives. We support a missionary for some time that served down in the Amazon. And as they served down in the Amazon, that was not their first stint in gospel ministry. Her husband at 34 died of leukemia, left her with several children to raise, and then God brought another person into his life, or into her life, and they went into mission work after that. But certainly not the path that Michelle, this missionary's wife, had in mind. And I'm afraid that there are many people, and some of us are sitting in this room, that we don't have it the way we wanted it. We don't have it the way we designed it. We don't have it the way we desired it. And so since it didn't come the way we wanted, we give up. But I'm here to tell you that detours came in the life of Joseph, and Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. Joseph was a godly man, somebody who served God and did what was right, yet bad things happened to him. So I give you this, that detours come. But not only that, look down in verse number 22. And we're going to find our duty. The Bible says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Now, we fast forward just a little bit. You know that Joseph, he was in the he was sold into slavery by his wicked brothers, and then he was elevated in Potiphar's household, and then Potiphar's wife lied on him. Now, he gets back into prison. But that brings me to my second thought, and that is that our duty is to glorify God and follow his dream, what he's put in your heart. You see, sometimes we get so enamored, or we get so worried about what somebody else is doing, about what God put in my heart, that we forget that my duty is to do what God has led me to do. I'm supposed to be faithful to God and do what he wants me to do. Whatever things happen on the outside, that's God's business. What he allows is up to him, but what I do with it is up to me. And so we see that our duty is to glorify God. We understand that Joseph was mocked for his dream by his brothers. He was sold in slavery. He was jailed for a false accusations. And then later we're going to look into he was forgotten by the butler as he finally gives him, pardon me, he gives him the interpretation of his dream. But at every step in the way, we see Joseph realizing his duty is just to glorify God and leave the results to God. His duty is to glorify God and do what he's supposed to, regardless of what's happening on the outside. And what you and I find ourselves in the dangerous trap is, we want everything to be right on the outside before we do our duty before God. But God doesn't call us to make all of the circumstances right. What God calls us to do is trust him and glorify him, whether I'm in the pit, whether I'm in Potiphar's house, or whether I'm in the prison, whether I'm forgotten or elevated. Because you see, Joseph, if he had just told half of the story or a fourth of the story, he could have made it sound so good about himself. Look at what God did. Or if he wanted to leave parts of the aspect out, he could say, look at how low I've come. If he just hit the low spots of being turned over by his brothers, being forsaken by his brothers, if he had just hit the low spots of being forsaken and then being put in prison and being lied about, then you would look at that and say, what a sad life. Or if he had said, I'm working for Potiphar, and later I'm working for Pharaoh, and I'm the second in all the land, you say, what a wonderful life. But the truth is, he had both. And what he did was his duty, tried to glorify God in whatever spot he was in. Terry Angel pastors out in Illinois. His son is a missionary in Africa. And so he got an email about 8 o'clock. He's sitting in his living room. He got an email from Ben, and he said, Dad, pray for me. I've never felt so unprepared, overwhelmed, depressed, and insufficient. And that's hard for a dad to hear. But that preacher dad of his pulled back all those emotions, and he replied back, good. And then he went on to explain just a little bit. He said, because when you feel like that, then you're trusting God and your faith is in him, not in what you can do. You see, again, we're trying to find our way sometimes to make everything just exactly like the storybook finish that we want. But I think that most people in this room have understood the storybook doesn't have an ending for us. All of us have watched too many movies or read too many books that they rode off happily ever after. We've got to find ourselves being faithful forever after, and being faithful to the Lord, and let him take care of the things, and realize that our duty is to glorify God and let him let our dreams be realized. This is not what many of you have had planned in your life. This is not what you thought was fun. This is not the turns that you thought would come in your life. But our one responsibility is to glorify God wherever He's allowed us. You may not have chosen for cancer to invade your body. You may not have thought that ever that you wanted the love of your life to depart from you. You may not have ever wanted a divorce or two in your life. But realize wherever you are right now today, you have the opportunity to say, I will glorify God from where I am. Or you can bemoan the fact that your dream, this is not the dream that you had. Don't you know that Joseph had many times, he'd had to, the Bible doesn't recount it, but he would have had to have had many times in that prison where he says, God, I don't see the stars and the moon and the sun bowing down anytime soon. You understand how easy it is to forget the vision that God had given you? Some leadership expert had said the true test of a man's leadership is the ability to keep a burden over a long period of time. You call that playing the long game. You've got children, maybe some of you've got grandchildren, and you've got these goals and these visions. You want to see these things played out in their life. But then if you're not careful, then what's going on right now today, the difficulties and the disturbances and the defeat that you're feeling, you'll allow that to keep you from looking far, far ahead and say, that's where we're headed. And I understand that it does get troublesome, but our duty again is to glorify God and follow His dream. Let me show you this last one before we leave. Chapter 40, verse number 8. If you turn over just a page, possibly. And they said unto him, we've dreamed a dream. This is the butler and the baker. And there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Down to verse number 12. And Joseph said unto them, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. And he gives the interpretations of the dreams of the butler and the baker. Give you this last thought, and that's this. You and I need to trust God that He's equipped you to do what He wants you to do in life. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, the Bible says. But God will with the temptation also make a way to escape. There's a few times in the Bible that God shows that Joseph exhibited the ability to interpret dreams. It's not just these guys. He does it later for Pharaoh as well. But it's amazing. It's the gift of the dream that got this domino effect in Joseph's life. Remember? He told his brothers, he told his mom, he told his dad, he says, the sun, the moon, the stars are going to bow down to me. And that's what, if you're looking at it humanly, that's what starts all of this problem. Because that's what got his brothers jealous. That's what got him to take him to the pit. Says, no, we're not going to leave him die here. We're just going to sell him to some enslaved market. And that's what started this domino effect, is this dream. But then if you look at the other side of it, this dream, the interpretation of it, that he's going to tell the butler and the baker, well, obviously it doesn't turn out good for one of them, but for the butler, he tells the dream he's going to get raised back up to his position. And you realize that dream started it, but this dream is going to, or this interpretation rather of the dream is going to end it. So all along the path of Joseph's detour, there's something that stays constant with him. And that is his desire to glorify God. And I'm convinced, as sure as I'm standing here in front of you, that many times we get short-sighted and we lose the vision of what God wants us to do in our family, in our marriage, because the problems we're right now facing, we just say, forget it. God's given you the ability to get out of and get past that detour. Nobody likes a detour. It always takes us out of the way. It always takes us somewhere that we're not used to. It takes us to an uncomfortable spot. But you're going to have to trust God that He's equipped you to reach the destination if it was a God-given one. So, God's got you taking the long way around. The health conditions that you are experiencing right now, I never thought they would be there. The difficulties that you are enduring right now, you say, I would have chosen these in a million years. But I can tell you this, if God's got you here, and whether they're by your own making or not, just as a little time out here, sometimes people say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm paying for problems that I got into or what. Here's what I always do whenever difficulties come. I do a good soul-searching heart checking to say, Lord, is there anything in my life that you're not pleased with? I want to get it right with you. And then if I know that I'm right with the Lord, and I just say, Lord, whatever you're allowing to come my way, you're going to get me through. And here is Joseph, again, picture of Christ, who's doing right. He was not perfect, of course, but he was doing right, and bad things kept happening to him. And it would have been easy for him to say, from the different spots he was in, for him to say, I can't get there from here. I cannot achieve what God showed me back in the day that he was going to do in my life. Many of you grabbed your young sweetheart by the arm and you went to a preacher or Just the Peace or somewhere and you got married and you say, we're going to make it happen. And now you're doubting and saying, it's not going to work. I would challenge you to stay faithful to the Lord and do your duty as Joseph did and do your duty of glorifying God to let your dream come true and then trust God as he did with Joseph. He already gave him the ability. God is the one that gave the interpretation, but he already gave him the ability to get himself out of that problem. And my friend, with God's help, we will be able to skate out of the things that he has allowed to come to our life. And so you and I say that the quickest distance between two points is a straight line. Now, there are some times when, like the Israelites in the wilderness, God let them wander around there. That was because of their own hard-heartedness. But there are some times that God just doesn't take us the shortest distance from where we started to where he wants us to be because he wants to teach us some things. And so when you and I are looking and we say, God, I can't get there from here, you're forgetting the most important aspect of the equation, and that's God. Joseph could have rightfully said, I don't see how it's ever going to work. I don't see how it's ever going to happen that God performs in my life what he says he said he was going to. But Joseph just trusted him. And I'm challenging you to trust him. Lester Roloff, an evangelist from yesteryear, is in heaven now. He said this about valleys. Because all of us, when we sing gospel songs, we want to talk about the mountaintops. When we think about the issues in our life, we want to be on the mountain because we can see so far. We want to be in that high spot where we can have all of our dreams met. But the valleys are very important as well. Those valleys and the low spots, and Lester Roloff said this, valleys, they're coming. Coming in your life, everything's not going to be a mountaintop experience. But he said this, don't fret them, meaning don't worry about them. Don't fret them. Don't fear them. Ask God to help you farm them. Meaning, get the good out of those valleys. Farm them. Get the good out of those valleys that God has for you while you're there. And so this morning, you may be looking at your life and you say, it is not going like I wanted it to go. And even it's not going like I think God showed me he wanted it to go. I think if we could have taken a little glimpse in Joseph's life, at many different instances, we'd say that he would have said the same thing. This is not going the way I planned. But we see at the end that God fulfilled in Joseph's life what God wanted to fulfill. I can't get there from here, God. I'm factoring out the most important aspect, and that is God. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Thank you, dear Lord, for the chance to come together. And Lord, I thank you for the life of Joseph. Thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for him just trusting you in all that was in his life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply that lesson to our lives. As the ladies find something to play and they play for us. If God's speaking to your heart, perhaps you're like Joseph. You found yourself in a pit or in a prison, being lied about by Potiphar's wife. And you say, I don't know why this has happened. I don't know either. God certainly could have just bypassed all of those difficulties and took Joseph straight to the pinnacle of his influence. But he didn't. God could have done whatever he wanted to in your life either. But he's allowed some things to come your way. I'm challenging you to trust God that he'll bring it to pass what he wants. That's where faith comes in. And if you're here today and God just done a work on your heart, I challenge you to do business with Him. Say, Lord, I give it to you. I trust you. As that old preacher said, don't fret it. Don't fear them. Ask God to help you farm those valleys. The season you're in right now, just trust God that He's doing something in your life that wouldn't have been done had it not been for this valley. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? And we'll be dismissed in just a few moments, but before we do that, I'd like to just give everybody the opportunity. Maybe you need to come pray. Brother Daniel's cut down here in the front. Maybe you want to come pray with him or pray for yourself. The altar is open for you. Maybe you're here this morning and God's really just burdened your heart. Say, I see a little bit of it now. Just thank the Lord for it. Folks right here in this room, you're not living the life that you planned. But you've got to step back and say, God, I'll trust you in it. Maybe you're here this morning, not sure that you're saved. Not sure you're not certain that you're on your way to heaven. If that's you, my friend, would you just step out and come? Let one of us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure Jesus is your Savior. He's the Savior. He came to seek and save that which was lost. That's us. But if you've got some doubts about it, I would challenge you to come. Maybe you have some other spiritual need to be baptized. We'll do that soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We do that as well. Whatever your need is, we'll just let him play this verse. This is yours. If you need somebody to pray with you, you step out and come. Amen. Thank you. You may look this way. Well, I've got wonderful news that Brother Paul and Miss Lynn Jeffries, they're right there in front of Jess Phipps. Jess, would you raise your hand up so everybody can see you? We'll embarrass you and not them. How's that? But Brother Paul, Miss Lynn, we met this week, and they love the Lord, and we're thankful for them. God's brought them down this way, and they want to join in. They agree to all the bylaws and Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and Constitution and all that, and their desire and feeling like the Lord is leading them to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so I rejoice with that as we got to meet fellowship together this week. So we would just need a motion to receive them. Brother David Harrison makes that motion. And we would take that, and then Brother David Martin seconds that motion, or Brother Danny Jenkins, we'll let you, Brother David. Praise the Lord for that. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. God bless, and I'll have the Jeffries, if you don't mind, we'll slip out with Amy and I. We'll meet back there in the back, and hopefully somebody can get by and meet them. But also, we want to ask all of the adult Sunday school teachers, if you don't mind, to slip back by your tables. And I'd like for you just to get to meet them. And I challenge everybody to get connected with one of these Sunday school classes. It's a great time to just to get to fellowship, but then again, prayer time, a little bit smaller group, give some community and some fellowship. And so I am looking forward to God blessing our Sunday school departments and our ministry, and I'm excited about all that God has given to us in that. So, well, it's been a blessed time in God's house. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff Wills, if you don't mind, to slip to the pulpit here and ask God's blessings on us as we go. And then Amy and I will slip back there with the Jeffries, and we're certainly glad to meet you. If there's anything we can do for you, then we would love to.
Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the privilege to be here today and for the Word of God that encourages us to keep our eyes on you no matter what we're going through in life. Continue to use this church. Bless everyone that's here. Give them safety going home. Thank you for the good weather you're giving us today, dear Heavenly Father. Just helps to fellowship and encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen.